Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
While a row rumbles on in government over the residential land tax, and we'll debate that at 5, you can text us to 51551. The Construction Industry Federation, the CIF, has today warned of job losses and housing delays as a result of underinvestment in water infrastructure. Meanwhile, the Connect Trade Union says the crisis in the apprenticeship system could undermine major house building projects here as well. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Conor O'Connell, who's Director of Housing and Planning with the CIF, and Connect Assistant General Secretary Brian Nolan. You're both very welcome to the programme. This is concerning what you're both saying because of the need for more and more housing in this country. Conor O'Connell of the CIF, might turn to you first of all. What are you saying here? What's your concern?
Good afternoon, Cormac. One of our biggest concerns at the moment is the pipeline of projects, whether that's the pipeline of projects for the civil engineering sector that delivers the water, wastewater infrastructure, access roads, etc., that allow zoned lands for residential purposes to be then built upon, or whether it's the pipeline and availability of serviced and zoned land to the house building sector. They're both under significant pressure at the moment. Indeed, Irish Water, we understand, have sought an extra €400 million to keep their capital projects going. And we are very concerned about the provision of infrastructure to enable lands to be delivered for housing.
You're very much echoing what Michael O'Flynn, the developer, told us in this programme yesterday, that some projects mightn't be ready because of infrastructure or utility deficiencies, he says. We asked Ishka Aidan, Connor, for a statement based on what you're saying. They say Ishka Aidan is delivering one of the largest and most ambitious capital investment portfolios in the country, focused on improving water services where they are needed most, based on a clearly defined set of priorities, they say. We continue to engage with our suppliers and industry bodies, such as the CIF, to ensure we can provide the range of water services needed to allow the delivery of housing and commercial growth across Ireland. And they say, finally, Ishka Aidan is currently engaging with government to seek to ensure sufficient funding is in place to continue to deliver its ambitious investment plan. And this includes the necessity for a multi-annual funding framework to support and plan for long-term capital delivery. So they're looking for more money to do exactly as you say, is that right?
Exactly. We've moved in this country to a plan-led residential development system. In other words, the draft national planning framework and the previous national planning framework outlined where development should take place in Ireland. At the moment, in relation to the provision of infrastructure, it's almost like we have a demand-led approach. In other words, house builder goes, applies for planning permission, hopefully gets planning permission to deliver units on that site, and then goes and seeks a connection agreement. And in many instances, through various different reasons, the extensive demand for housing, the massive increase in population that we've witnessed over the last number of years, we simply don't have the pipes in the ground, the physical water connection pipes, the wastewater treatment plants. In other words, we're always chasing them in terms of the delivery of infrastructure.
That beggars belief, given the fact that we have a housing crisis in this country. What you're telling us essentially is that there are huge land banks, and they might have planning permission or could be granted quite soon, that the developer might be ready, that the plans might be ready to go, but nothing is happening because there's no water, there's no sewage, there's no electricity. Is that it?
That's it. That's it, Cormac. In very simple terms, that's the experience of our members nationwide at the moment.
Stay with me if you don't mind. I'm joined by Brian Nolan of the Connect Trade Union as well, who represents craft apprentices. Now, you're very welcome, Brian, to the programme. Now, you carried out a survey of your members, which shows potential problems in housing supply as well.
Good evening, Cormac. Yes, we launched a survey in June called the National Craft Apprentices Survey, and we were asking apprentices for their experience, good and bad, within the statutory apprenticeship system, which would deliver the likes of bricklayers, carpenters, plasterers, painters, all the crafts and trades that are needed to build houses. And we done that off the back of a number of statements, but one statement that had been made earlier in the year was that one in five apprentices were dropping out of the system. So we set off with a survey that's been doing the rounds, and we've been meeting apprentices the length and breadth of the country to get their feedback. And we got a couple of preliminary results that we said we'd release today in advance of the final report being published post September 20th. So some of the stuff that came out was a bit scary. It related to the fact that we were aware that apprentices were paid or could be paid below the national minimum wage, but 95% of those surveyed said they all believed it should be above the national minimum wage, because that was the difficulty attracting people and retaining people into an apprenticeship system, which has changed over the last 100 years. I mean, gone are the days where an individual is indentured to a craft worker by their parents to learn a craft. There's a need for industry to have labour and have skills, and that's where these apprenticeships stem from.
So there's a problem with wages. There's a problem with training, you say, as well.
There is, yeah. I mean, it's been well documented and it's been reported on the airwaves many times about the facilities and the shortfall of facilities. A lot has been done, there's no doubt about it, but there's a lot more needs to be done. I mean, we have apprentices in an apprenticeship system that should take a minimum 4 years, shouldn't really take a whole pile more, to be quite honest with you. I mean, there are exceptions to that. You know, somebody might get sick, somebody might fail an exam, and that's all relative. But delays to get into a statutory apprenticeship system and make our way through it in a timely fashion has been highlighted as a problem. And one of those problems as well is that some of the apprentices may have to travel, say, from Cork to Donegal for off-the-job academic phases. And with that is an issue that for the last 20 years, the accommodation allowance that will be paid has an increase. So it's about 70 or 80 euro for somebody to find accommodation, live away from home for what could be up to 20 weeks to do this. And I know there's very often a comparison drawn by people who go to third level education. They say, well, we don't get paid to go. And we accept that, and we're not comparing apples and oranges for the simple reason these apprentices are expected to produce and deliver from day one. If they're building a house, the National Children's Hospital, whatever the project might be, apprentices are part of that building process. So they're not just there for a free ride.
Lucas, it's incredible. And you both, the CIF and Connect, you want these issues addressed in Budget 25, which is why you're making these submissions known now. But I wonder, will people find it incredible in this day and age, and this far into the housing crisis, that projects aren't proceeding because of a lack of services or infrastructure, or because apprentices aren't getting adequate training, or even the minimum wage? You can text us to 51551 if you're surprised or not on that one. But Conor O'Connell of the CIF and Brian Nolan from Connect Trade Union, thank you both very much.